Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, and every so often, we set up a session called a listener roundtable, where some of our most active people from the forums are invited to be guests on the show. And because we have such great people on our forums, we have people there who know more about more things than we do, which is why Chris and I seem to be so smart, especially me. It's because we read all the posts from all these people who've got like 170,000 posts over the various years of the Paracast, and a lot of them are words of wisdom. So we are joined today by Gogs Mackay, who's also one of our forum administrators. Gogs, welcome back.
How's it going, Gene? Nice to be back.
It's going great. How are things in Scotland?
We had a really good Indian summer, and the last couple of weeks was actually surprising. It's turning to autumn now.
All right. In Australia, we have Mike Jones, known as Mike, in our forums. And we've talked to people on the other side of the world before, and you have been one of our most prolific posters. Do you actually have a day job, or is this all you do is post in the forums?
I am retired now. G'day from the land down under, everyone. I'm retired now, but I have plenty to do during the day. I'm surrounded by a zoo, so to speak. I spend most of my day feeding critters.
Oh, tell me more about the zoo.
Well, apart from the usual house pets, I've got five dogs and goldfish. And when I say goldfish tanks, I'm talking 12 feet long and 3 feet wide, some of these tanks. And then there's all the native wildlife. So I have kookaburras. I've got nine woodland ducklings on the pond at the moment. I've got chickens down the back. So, yeah, I'm absolutely surrounded by animals at all the time.
We just have one dog and one wife, and that's it. The son is off in Madrid. And
well, it would be quieter.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Especially those kookaburras, man. They can really they can make quite a racket.
Yeah, well, all the bird life up here does. The dawn chorus and the dusk chorus can be quite overwhelming. The noise up here, I mean, we're surrounded by parrots as well. So the bird song up here, especially in the dawn and dusk, is quite intense.
Now, because of the time zone, we got you to get up real early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that, because of all the time zone changes. So are you, I hope, fully awake for this?
I'm reasonably awake, yes. It's 3:14 in the morning down here, but I've just chugged a very, very large plunger of coffee, so hopefully my hair will be standing on end in no time.
Well, we want to do that. We want to make everybody's hair stand on end here on the Paracast. And some of the things we hear out there in the world, you wonder. And let me give you something here, which had come to my attention. Chris saw this a couple of weeks back, and this was after we had Jan Harzan, the executive director of MUFON, on the show. And then we get a letter from a member, in a would-be member in Austria, who says they won't take his membership. And this guy has got, you know, some serious scientific credentials. You saw the letter, didn't you, Chris?
I did see the letter, and I sent it off to Jan. And basically, the guy's got advanced postgraduate degrees in two subjects. And evidently in Austria, there's quite an elitist small group of MUFON members that are all scientists. And his credentials weren't, I guess, worthy enough for his inclusion in the local MUFON chapter there, which to me is ludicrous.
Well, you know, supposedly they take almost anyone as a member. I mean, among MUFON members were people like Jim Moseley. In fact, when Jim Moseley used to put the word James W. Moseley J.S. on issues of Saucer Smear, J.S. stood for Journal Subscriber, because he was a subscriber to MUFON. I'm a member of MUFON. They take my money every year, and they never complain. And not that I've always been too kind to them, which is different than some of the organizations of old. Like, for example, NICAP, the venerable organization that was headed by Major Donald Kehoe, would not accept Jim Moseley's membership. So Jim had to have someone else join under a different name. I think APRO probably wouldn't accept his membership either. So, you know, a lot of crazy things happen in the UFO field. But this is crazy. We have a guy who has legitimate educational credentials. He wants to be part of their work. I don't know. Well, I know you sent a letter to Jan. I did also.
Well, he was almost insulted. And Jan was really backpedaling, saying, well, you know, I'm going to look into this, and certainly you can be a member of MUFON. But the guy, I think, because of the tenor and the stuffiness and sniffiness of the reply from the local German and or Austrian, I think, MUFON chapter, you know, really turned him off. And he was willing to dive in, roll his sleeves up, and get busy. And, boy, talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face.
I think that just, you know, attitude would be the primary thing thereafter. You know, if you're willing to utter quite if you have 4 advanced degrees.
Mike, you had a feeling on this?
I guess it boils down to politics from what I can see. And you know, it's obviously an issue with the local chapter. And sometimes when you're dealing with sort of local groups of people, then politics comes into play. And the old adage of power shared, power lost, seems to come to mind. I think that it sounds like the elites that are running the local chapter don't really want to share the credit around too much. They don't want to slice that pie any thinner than they already do, by the sounds of it.
Well, the problem is here, the pie is pretty thin right now. MUFON today probably has no more members than they had 40, 50 years ago. So they're still hanging out.
I'm sure they have less.
Probably they have less, I agree. So
I think they should they should let this guy join. I mean, the main criteria for me is a passion for the subject. I mean, if you've got that, then anything else is academic.
Well, the key being here, though, the criteria should be, do you have the money? Or do you have, as long as you have nothing in your background that will reflect really negatively on them? I mean, if you are a hardened criminal, you've in prison and you're serving a life sentence as a serial killer, I guess they wouldn't want your membership. That would make sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah, but just a regular guy or somebody who has a scientific background, boy, we sure need people with scientific backgrounds in UFO research.
Oh,
and this is really, I think, a serious issue for an organization like MUFON, because they've got to really embrace as many serious people as possible. We have a subject that still isn't taken seriously by too many people.
I agree. On the surface of it, it sounds very strange. He, as you say, he has the academic achievements to make him a valuable member. He has the enthusiasm and the interest in the genre. If there's nothing else precluding his joining, such as the aforementioned criminal history and or bad reputation, then well, I can't see any reason why they wouldn't let him join. It seems very strange.
Listen, they let me join. What else can I say? If they let me join, why wouldn't they let anyone else join? Actually, they let me join NICAP, too, even when they hated me and hated Jim Moseley back in the early days. They were so desperate for the money, they would take anyone. And I would think here, too, MUFON doesn't have a large amount of disposable income to go around for research. And if anything, they should be embracing as many members as possible and also trying to take it away from this so-called Rotary Club image. You know, this middle American businessman image. You want to get the young people involved in UFO research. You know, and Chris and I and Mike and to a lesser extent Goggs are a couple of years older than that. But we want to get the young people involved. And I don't know that an organization like MUFON really is able to do that. I would say we're able to tell you that we have a listener roundtable. And we have Goggs Mackay from Scotland, Mike Jones from Australia, and Gene and Chris, at least for now, in Arizona. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
Are you concerned about blood pressure, cholesterol, or other cardiovascular issues? Are you taking an omega-3 supplement but are not seeing the results you've been promised? Dr. Steven Sinatra's famous Little Red Pill is the only fish oil alternative enhanced with resveratrol, providing you with sustained energy and the amazing health results you've been looking for. Now you can balance triglycerides and cholesterol, improve circulation, get rid of blood pressure problems, and many other signs of aging with Omega Q Plus with resveratrol. Call today to find out how to get a free bonus bottle of Omega Q Plus with resveratrol as part of our radio special. Dr. Steven Sinatra is America's number one integrative cardiologist and formulated this alternative to fish oil with high levels of omega-3, DHA, and EPA from a triple purified calamarine source. You get vital omega-3s, DHA, and EPA along with CoQ10, resveratrol, and four other ingredients for complete cardiovascular protection. This combination nearly doubles the power of fish oil for your heart, brain, arteries, eyes, and cholesterol. Call now to get your free bonus bottle at 1-800-240-6508 and ask for Omega Q Plus with resveratrol. That's 1-800-240-6508. Again, 1-800-240-6508.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster. With MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, listener roundtable with Mike Jones and Gogs Mackay joining us. We'll have a few questions from listeners later. But we're just discussing the state or tragic state of UFO research and where we go with that and what's going to happen. And right now, I guess the most important organization out there would probably be MUFON in terms of publicity and everything else. And we have someone in Australia saying, gee, I'd like to be a member, but they won't have me. And it's not that I want to make a big deal of this, because I do. I really think that an organization like MUFON needs to find ways to attract younger people, people who text, people who use Twitter, people who use Facebook, and people who use other social networks we old codgers know nothing about. So I guess I'll ask all of you if you have any ideas, and we'll start with Mike, because you're retired, and therefore getting younger people involved in elements of paranormal research, what do you think could be done?
I'm honestly not sure. I think it's one of these things that has to evolve organically, and you just got to roll with it. If I was this person in Austria, I guess I would take some solace, and I think it's that quote by Groucho Marx, which is, any club that would have me as a member, I don't want to be a member of. Not that that's pertinent to what we're discussing today, which is in order to how to get the membership to move on, up and running. And I really don't know how they do it, but I do agree that they need fresh blood. Any organization needs fresh blood, or you stagnate and die.
Well, it's partly here about the UFO field in general, whether this sort of study can attract younger people. It's almost unfortunate if it doesn't. You know, it's really got to be at a point here where we have what should be the most amazing mystery of our time. We have this stuff happening, UFOs, weird things being seen in the sky and on the ground, some people saying they were abducted, all sorts of events that seem to surround the mystery. And that's got to interest almost anybody. But instead, I think the demographic's not that good.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think the word mystery is an important word, because I think there's been an evolution in the mindset of people. When I was young, it was a genuine mystery, and it was a genuine question to which there were no answers. Whereas today, when you look at some of the polls, you're looking at, half the population believes that UFOs are real, and half the population believes that ET is here. And when you get that, so the mystery sort of goes out of it, I think, when the popular mindset is sort of saying, yeah, they're here, we recognize that, and it's no longer a mystery. It's for the same reason we don't seem to explore those wild spaces on our own planet anymore, because it's all been done. It's there's nothing left to see.
I think that's a really good point, Mike. I think it's just kind of a knee-jerk assumption now by the younger generation that it's not that big of a deal. It's like, there's UFOs. Yeah, there's aliens. Haven't you ever seen the Star Wars movie? They go into the bar and there's like 30 different alien types in there. The mystery and the allure, I think, has gone out of it largely for the younger generation. And it's too fast-paced. I mean, all you have to do is click on your smartphone, get on your computer. You can find out anything that you want. You don't really have to use your powers of discernment. I think the younger generation is fairly discerning, but at the same time, I think they're being so overwhelmed with questionable data and questionable information that a lot of them, I think, just tune out.
Okay, yeah, I've given a lot of thought to how we can encourage younger people into the UFO topic, and I kind of looked inward thinking, well, how did I get into it myself? But I don't think it's a subject that you can kind of even encourage anyone to get into. It's something, as Mike said, you either get into organically, or like what happened with yourself, Gene, a book was left on a table, but it was you that took the interest into that. And I think people have to find it for themselves. You can give them the options, but they have to find it. And I think actually it's one of those subjects, if you try to push people into it, they might kind of even resist and say, well, no, I'm not interested in that. And Chris hit on the point that I was also thinking, that with the internet and with, smartphones and everything, maybe, and the amount of TV channels, maybe it's just like reached saturation point for people, that there's so much choice that the mystique, the magic, the interest that we get from the UFO mystery, well, there's lots of sci-fi, there's lots of whatever to be interested in, but say back in the 60s and 70s, there was sci-fi movies, the whatever little there was on TV, there were some magazines and stuff, but all those things, every single one of those choices has been multiplied by a factor of 100 more. And UFOs, the way we're into it, is just kind of slotted right in there amongst a whole host of other things. And I don't really know how to make it stand out. I don't know if you even can. And, we had third phase of the moon discussed on here. And it's very popular. But you know, compared to some other sites, but is it doing anything positive in terms of actually attracting people? That regardless of whether it has fake videos or not, I just don't know if the UFO topic is something that you can encourage someone into. You can make the circumstance that it's available to them to get into if they wish, but I don't think you can push anyone into it. And I think everyone, all four of us here, came to it ourselves. No one I knew, actually, when I was younger, was into UFOs, and very few people still are. I still know a few people that are into UFOs. So,
yeah, I used to think, one time years ago, when we used to try to look at the size of the UFO field, this was in the days when I worked with Jim Moseley, but that's back in the 1960s, so I don't know if it's very different. We would figure there were maybe a few hundred hardcore people who really followed the subject. And to the rest, it was, oh, okay. You know, they sort of were interested, but they weren't really dedicated to what it is. Today, I think UFOs in general, it's all a big reality show to most people. They look at UFOs, they don't think of it in terms of something real that may impact their lives unless they've seen something or they know somebody who's had a really frightening encounter. When they see it on TVs, well, the TV shows are reality shows. It's not real. You know, it's like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or New Jersey. It's just a show. Why should we even take it seriously? Let's get back to watching football or getting back to whatever we get back to. It's not something that we would consider in a very serious way, because it is not presented seriously. It is not presented as something that has incredible implications to our world. Because you know,
it's really funny you should mention that. I just had a long conversation yesterday with the head of development for a really big production company out in Hollywood who's produced 65 TV shows, and many of which here in America we've all heard of. Some of them less noteworthy than others.
Let's have you finish that answer on our next segment, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're going to find out more about his conversations with that network, but also to get the attitudes that they may present. We have Gogs Mackay, Mike Jones, Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind a marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network, two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event, absolutely free, October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Hey.
You sounded like Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, now this guy's got a voice, you know?
That was great.
You got to have to learn to do voiceovers, Mike. You know, get yourself a better microphone.
I have been asked to do radio once before, years and years and years ago.
Well, you know what? Get yourself a really good mic, you know, if you're willing to invest a little bit of your retirement income on a good mic, and we'll have a ball. Okay, so Chris was talking about speaking with this big production company, does a lot of TV, and he was obviously getting feedback. And I expect that feedback is not going to be too promising, is it?
Well, you know, naturally, there it is kind of promising because I think I was able to take her and readjust her thinking. Basically, she was calling saying, look, you know, you come recommended. You've worked with a lot of shows in the past, I understand. You know, you have some good ideas. You know, we want to put together a show. It's already sold. All we have to do is figure out the best way to do it and put together a show about UFO investigators. We want a team. And I said, wait a minute. Have you been watching the last 10 years? And I rattled off all the shows that tried to do this and really, for the most part, failed miserably. Sci-Fi Investigates, Chasing UFOs, most notably, come to mind. But she says, well, that's what the networks want. I mean, they have a very narrow focus. They're very comfortable in their box. They don't, if it ain't broke, they don't want to fix it. And I reminded her that that particular approach, that reality show approach of constantly going around and talking to people about anecdotal sightings, maybe every three or four shows you happen to get a clip or a photograph. I said, people are bored with that. You need to really take this thing to the next level. And I suggested a number of ideas of how to make this whole idea of reality television, which is the model right now, whether we like it or not. The networks, it's very inexpensive to produce these shows, relatively speaking, to a dramatic show, and this is what people seem to want in the audience. So I gave her a whole list of ideas, and I actually was able to turn her head, show her the light, and give her a sense of how we could take the broadcast side of ufology and paranormal investigation in general and take it to the next level. So there may be hope. Now, we're talking about the head of development for, you know, a very prestigious production company out in California. And you know, I think that they've got to see the writing on the wall when a show like Chasing UFOs fails so miserably. And I think that right now the time is right for these people to possibly take a little bit of a chance and really start to try to move this thing forward.
Mike, you want to comment, or Goggs?
No, I was just going to quickly comment. Chris, how about would they ever cover the SLV camera project? Was that mentioned at all?
Well, again, they're looking at a complete TV show series, so they want to try to, you know, like an Ancient Aliens go for 5, 6, 7 years. I don't think there's enough. I mean, obviously, that would be a subject and a show or two or an ongoing theme within the series, of course. I never even brought that up at this point. Basically, I was just trying to show her that people are really tired of the same old thing, you know, of recovering Roswell, the Phoenix Lights, Gulf Breeze. You can just rattle off the cases that in every show of this type, they're always going to be going back to these shows. And I'm sorry, it's like trying to, for years, you go to a conference and Stanton Friedman would be talking, and he would literally, word for word, give the same presentation. I mean, the younger generation, people that have been involved in this field, and the old-timers, I think, are all tired of rehashing the same material. We need to take this thing to the next level, and that would be looking at it from a cross-discipline sort of way. When you go to a place, it's not the people that should be the focus. It should be the place. What else is going on? Like in Aylesbury, Missouri, for instance, in 1979, just to give you an example, ufologists showed up in this town and were dismayed when they found out that Bigfoot was also being associated with the mutilations that were occurring there. UFOs are being associated, mystery helicopters. People need to open those blinders that they have on and start to realize that a lot of this stuff appears to be interrelated, whether we like it or not. And we need to look more at the place than specific events and people. I think they're indications of something special about a place. The area in Scotland that you're in, it has an incredible amount of very, very interesting historical information. You know, you have kind of a UFO triangle there. You know, anywhere you go in Australia, there's areas that are just fascinating. We have Yowie sightings and all sorts of, you know, stuff that the outside world isn't really that aware of. I think the new and different approach to this is to look at it in context to other unexplained mysteries. And this approach has never been tried before. And I really think that I might have at least put a bug in her ear. And she's very interested and wants me immediately to send her a proposal. So,
Chris, how as you're saying, I you know, all that sounds great to me, but as you're saying, the reality show is the show du jour, and how can those things you're talking about, how can they be encompassed in a show that is going to be in a kind of reality format? Or are you trying to say that you tried to convince her to go away from the reality format?
No. Use the reality format. Have a team of experts, each one specializing in a particular thing. I'm giving away all my ideas here on the air, but...
Yeah. You know, I'm writing them down here, and I'll have my agent contact all the production companies in advance.
Yeah. Basically have each character be an expert in their particular field of study or investigation, and have them look at a particular area from a particular area of expertise, and then combine them all. Have analysts, have on the ground investigators, have, you know, people that are more sociologically inclined, have research people, and have them all be part of a team, kind of like a CSI thing. You have your forensic on the ground people looking for evidence. You have your people that are interviewing real people that are interviewing the participants or witnesses. You have your analysts who are analyzing the data, and you have your big picture theorists who are looking at all the constituent elements in different parts and then kind of piecing them together to come up with an overall picture. So basically what I'm championing and what I'm suggesting is the place should be the star, the people and the events should be the supportive material. And you can still have that, as you put it, reality show du jour interaction of characters, and the actual team can have their disagreements and their different points of view and that sort of thing to have that sort of personality element there. But I think it needs to be opened up. I you can't go in like some investigators did in Ellsbury, Missouri in 79. And when they heard about Bigfoot, they didn't want to talk about it. When they heard about this particular type of thing or aberrant societal behavior, it was too much for them. They just wanted to focus on their individual interests.
I can see it already, you know, taking that great idea with all these different people with their different expertise. The way the TV producers are going to do it, you know, the end result is going to be something like this, you know, David, the cryptozoologist, has fallen out with Jack, the engineer, and then it's going to show you them talking to their friends or something, and they're going to turn it into some Big Brother thing. So you've got the basic idea of what you're saying exactly, which would be great, but then they're going to turn it into, well, what are they gossiping about, instead of actually looking at the mystery. That's what I'm worried about, that they'll turn it into something like that. Like,
well, unfortunately, when in Rome, you got to speak Latin, you know, or now Italian. So, it, you know, this is what is driving right now popular broadcast media in America. And it's starting to really impact other markets around the world. People, you know, for the most part, I think live pretty fairly regular, almost dull, uninteresting lives. And so they need this kind of, I don't know, sort of drama, for lack of a better term, to make something seem more compelling than what they, you know, do 9 to 5 every day and, you know, come home, weed the garden, feed the dog, spank the kids, you know, what, whatever.
We don't want to talk about spanking kids, but we have to do this break, guys. We have Dogs McKay and Mike Jones joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
September is National Preparedness Month. That's right. We like to call it Preptember. And there's no better place to get prepped than with emergency essentials at BePrepared.com. This month only, save 40% on our super supply of freeze-dried vegetables. That's a savings of $159. Freeze-dried pork sausage crumbles are 39% off. Regularly $39.95, now just $23.99. There's a lot more. Call emergency essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-5-FAKE-TV. 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris of the Paracast, we have a listener roundtable, and we're discussing the future, the past, the potential of paranormal research, plus all the side issues with Gogs McKay and Mike Jones. And to show you, we do have a worldwide audience. Gogs is from Scotland, and Mike is from Australia. Chris and I are in Arizona now, but we've been in other places. And we're trying to talk about, well, if a network is going to produce a UFO-related show, how do you set it up? How do you do investigations? And what do you emphasize? And the thing that Chris brought out is the fact that we look at the location first because we want to see why or what about that area attracts strange things, strange events.
So I was going to say, remember when I think it was Colin Kelleher mentioned that NIDS had either were already interested in or had been made aware of, in quotes, several other areas in the continental U.S. that had activity like the Sherman Ranch, also known as the Skinwalker Ranch. So I would be interested to know, you know, where else there is stuff like that going on. And I know Marley Woods has been put forward by Ted Phillips as a place like that. I'm sure he's mentioned somewhere in Romania. That's something that sticks in my head. But anyway, so there are locations that have this multi-paranormal thing going on in and around UFOs. And yeah, I think that would be absolutely dynamite for, at least for us anyway, as a UFO-liking audience. So if they could find any kind of areas with, you know, interesting stuff like that, I'd be all for it. But Chris, I understand you don't want to give everything away that you're trying to, you know, get shows off of and stuff. But are you aware of any kind of active areas that you would think, even if you don't tell us where they are you aware of anywhere?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's many of them. I could rattle off a dozen just off the top of my head. Basically, I've talked about this on the show before. I've got a formula that I've sort of put together over the years of five different points that if a particular area has the criteria to meet these five different points, then it should be an active hot part. And so over the years, I've kind of slowly formulated a five-point sort of formula that would help us identify a potential hotspot area. And they're very, very simple. If it has unusual geophysical properties, which could range from minimum maximum field strength in the Earth's magnetic field, close proximity of minimum maximum field strength, gravitational lows, alternating clay and water in the aquifers in the area, a history of sacredness by any sort of indigenous people, and or a kind of a history of strange events in the Celtic countries, the Standing Stone areas, where the Blue Stones are, for instance, in your neck of the woods, Gogs. Down in Australia, there's very strange anomalies. Ayers Rock would be come spring to mind. That's kind of an unusual anomaly there geophysically. And there's legends among the Walpiri and others down in that area of you know, strange occurrences, and waves of activity that have attained some sort of stature within the oral tradition or written tradition. So you have unusual combinations of events occurring, and generally you have some sort of government or military interest in the area, and oftentimes they're actually trying to expand their control, buy more land, appropriate more land, or become more dominant and have more control of this particular area. So if you have these five things, you've got a hotspot area. And there are lots of them all over the globe. Just in the United States alone, I could probably name 10 or 12. So there are these hotspot areas. I think many of them have not been identified by ufologists, by cryptozoologists, because they're looking at it from their own, with their own pair of glasses, their own sort of blinders on. And if you look at this formula and you start looking at particular areas, you'd be amazed at how many of them there are out there, some of them in urban areas, for instance. So this would be the kind of approach that I would champion to the TV shows.
Okay, we wrote that down now, and what's going to happen is we're going to take that, and we're going to patent it, right, Chris? You can't put a patent on an idea in Hollywood. But I think the key here is that this has also been the approach of UFO research itself, right, Chris? That we're looking at the individual events as if they're separate events as opposed to the combination or the fact that different parts of the world may yield different sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you do have your cultural and subcultural interpretations that vary. If you go to Africa and let's say a set of events happens, it's interpreted in a particular way within the subculture. If you go to Europe, if you go to any area on the planet, there's going to be a subcultural and cultural bias of how that particular event or a series of events is interpreted by the locals there. And so there is this kind of obviously compartmentalization, stovepiping going on within the investigation community. And I think that if UFOs happen in a place, that we should also be looking at strange weather, aberrant social behavior, just synchronistic events that normally are not caught by a stovepipe, you know, blinded investigator. And this is something that I really picked up early on in my work in the San Luis Valley, which is one of these areas. You know, why did we have 12 fires in a single weekend? Why was there roadkill scattered everywhere you drove? Why did we have UFO sightings, cattle mutilations, the bridesmaid sister of the bride knifing her bride's sister at a wedding reception, as an example of aberrant social behavior? Why did all these things happen over a 2-day period? And then boom, everything seemed to return back to normal. It's just these types of synchronistic events and what appear to be disconnected or unconnected events occurring, and nobody's taking notes and looking at a big picture sort of view of these areas and these types of concurrent events or synchronicity. I think it's really important. And a TV show that would take the approach of looking at this whole potpourri of potential I would say anomalous events, I think would really take this field into a whole new realm. It would move this whole realm of broadcast coverage of these subjects into a whole new arena. And unfortunately, I've just given away my billion-dollar idea.
Say, hey, Chris, someone smarter than me, if they was to put together some program that searched the news worldwide on the web or something, and they were looking for, you know, as you're saying, aberrant social behavior plus being in the vicinity of a military area plus being in the area of, you know, known sacred site and stuff, I wonder if there's a way to actually kind of keep an eye out, if you like, have something, you know, a computerized program running, keeping an eye out for somewhere.
Absolutely.
That ticks all these boxes. And then, I think one place that, I wonder if you could persuade a Russian TV executive to do a show in Russia, because I think they can probably do it without all the you know, the reality aspect. And that place is huge. And I think it's probably got far more places, as you're saying, than we even know about. And there are a lot that we know about already in Russia.
Well, in China, too, and parts of the Southeast, Southeast Asia. You know, my publisher, David Hatcher Childress, just got back from Burma. He's been to the, you know, some areas in Indonesia that very few people are aware of, where this there's activity that is goes back into prehistory that has been, you know, documented in the oral tradition and lately written down that nobody around the world is aware of. There's places scattered all over the globe that would be wonderful. Of course, when you're talking about traveling and taking cruise, you know, 12-hour flights and stuff, you know, it gets expensive. But once a show like that begins to get some steam and headway and get some notoriety and the budgets get a little bigger, you have like Destination Truth going to Japan. There is a way to, for instance, create a following, generate some ad revenue, which pays for all this stuff in the long run, and then start to branch out from the area where the show originates. In this case, you cover North America, maybe go down to Mexico and just start filtering out. There's areas in South America, for instance, that would just blow people's minds if they knew the types and the frequency of events and occurrences that happen down there.
And this is just the start, folks. We have so much more to cover. With Gene, Chris, and our listeners, Goggs and Mike, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.